This is us learning in public, trying to...
Literally learning in public.
Yeah.
We were at Vancouver Public Library. Yes. There are glass doors. Yeah. We were literally learning in public.
Pulling back the curtain of silence.
And learning what freedom feels like. I'm Nick.
And I'm Lala. This is Seen. Brown-eyed activism.
Healing at the intersections.
I'm nervous.
How are you? Yes!
I feel nervous.
You know what? I gotta say, I was pretty happy that you decided to lead this conversation. Not because I didn't want to, but because I was also nervous. Like, I was pre-nervous. I knew that we needed to talk about what we're going to talk about. So why don't you just tell?
Yeah, and I'm also relieved that we're finally in the studio, because this whole movement to shut down Canada in solidarity with Wet'suwet'en has been fucking shit up for weeks now, and I've really wanted to talk more about this. I've been like craving more conversations.
You've been itching.
Yes. Yeah. I've just really been asking myself what it means to show up for Indigenous sovereignty movements as a settler. So we're recording this on February 25th, and I imagine there'll be developments in what's happening by the time the episode's released next week. This is actually much sooner than we usually
know.
A smaller gap than we usually
have.
Who are
we? Yeah. Timely.
Yes, we're doing it.
I know.
But this episode is not going to be us covering the issues per se, or, you know, convincing people that they should show up, or explaining to people what is happening, because honestly, we're not the best people to do that. There's other people who are doing a much better job of that.
Yes.
So what we're actually going to do is compile a list of resources, both to learn about the current situation in Wet'suwet'en and the solidarity actions, and to learn more generally about colonialism in Canada and the whole context of the situation. So we'll put that on our Instagram on the day this comes out, and we'll put it under the highlights for folks to access. So you can go to Seen the Podcast on Instagram to find that. So what we're going to do here is a little bit different. We're not going to make the case that it's important to support this movement, because I think we know that. I think most of our listeners would already say that it's important. This episode is about, what does it look like to support and show up? How do we do that? How are we falling short? How do we do better? So we usually start our episodes by positioning ourselves. So Nick, I'm curious to hear how you've been feeling watching this movement gain momentum, and what your hopes or intentions are for our conversation.
I've been in like a constant state of what feels like hand-wringing. Like, it just, I've been feeling really anxious. There was a weekend where I had to take a social media break because it was overwhelming for myself. I've been feeling very, very culpable, very responsible, very demanding of myself. And it's been unsettling. It's been heartbreaking. Like, it's been a lot of emotions. I think what I'm hoping for us to take from this conversation, or what I'm hoping that this conversation offers, is just some honest discussion about where we're at with respect to showing up, and our own personal, like, adding our own personal reflections and questions. And I really want us to explore some of the complexity of how this entire movement should be impacting us, and how it perhaps isn't impacting us in the way it should, or how, you know, I've been feeling, just a lot of some shame, some feeling paralyzed in fear, feeling ill-equipped, not knowledgeable enough. So I just want us to talk about all these, those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you?
I don't know. I've been feeling galvanized, I guess, this intense need to mobilize around what's happening. It's like, it just felt like, okay, this is what we've been talking about. You know, this is what we've been saying in terms of, you know, our values, or like our episode, Hallelujah, where we're talking about, you know, the world is changing really fast.
Yeah. And when
and what are we going to do?
Yes.
Yeah. And so I have been, I guess, struggling to figure out the best ways to show up.
Right.
I have been trying really, really hard, and I've been, you know, increasingly frustrated and angry looking around at myself and other people and, you know, what we're doing, what we're not doing, the fact that even those of us who are showing up now, most of us, you know, like myself, have not been showing up before this. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those feelings, and I don't know. I think it's really complicated. Mm-hmm. Going into this conversation, I was thinking about, okay, how do I want to talk about this?
Right.
Because on one hand, you know, shame is not useful for anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, nobody acts from in a good way from shame, because shame is the thing that makes us hide and, you know, project and do all kinds of, like,
destructive things
for ourselves and other people. And I also know that it's complicated because we all have, you know, a different range of abilities, and it's not clear from the outside, you know, so you might think somebody's doing nothing, and first of all, you might not see what they are doing, but you also might not realize why.
Right.
Like, for me, I haven't been able to go in person as much as I would like to because of my health.
Right.
And how bad it is. And so when I have gone to actions and blockades, that's when I've emotionally felt the best, but I've often paid, like, a big price physically for doing that, because, like, my health is just not really there.
Right. And I think those pieces that get in the way of us showing up or doing the work can be so invisible.
Yeah.
And I think there's reasons, and then there's excuses. I think that's another thing that's kind of, it's really hard to own up to. You know?
Exactly. And this is exactly why I'm struggling so much, because there's all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, the vast majority of us as settlers have been absent, and we haven't been showing up as much as we need to. And who gets to have those excuses or have those reasons?
Right.
You know, even if they're legitimate reasons, look at who's showing up. Like, look at all of the Indigenous youth and Indigiqueer and Two-Spirit youth in particular, mm-hmm. who are there day and night putting their bodies on the line, mm-hmm. when, you know, they are not safe on the streets with police, with
just regular like non-police
Canadians.
People.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, there is one of the leaders that I follow on social media who is a young Two-Spirit person. In addition to being at actions just constantly leading, putting themselves in harm's way, they showed a screenshot of them yesterday sending money to the Mohawk in Tandanega and saying, you know, I'm broke, but I'd rather eat more lightly than not help, you know, mm-hmm. my relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that somebody who's giving so much is literally taking food out of their own mouth to show up for the cause, and so many of us Canadians mm-hmm. are sacrificing literally nothing.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who is disabled, as a therapist, like, I really don't in any way underestimate the importance of wellness and taking care of ourselves, because we're not helping anybody by being burnt out, by being sick, by having, you know, because that's, we're not going to be able to keep showing up.
Right.
Also, if we're not in a good state, we might contribute to escalation at actions, or, you know, where we might not be showing up in a good way
mm-hmm.
that's actually helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are so important, but it's so easy to let ourselves off the hook
right.
when we're not the ones who are the most directly impacted.
Yeah.
And we're so removed from the consequences, from mm-hmm. the actual violence. Like, we see it, and mm-hmm. it's upsetting to see it, but it's different to see it from a distance than that's you, that's your friends, that's your family, that's your your people.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and speaking from, I don't know, I totally follow what you're saying. There's so many of us that haven't been doing any of the work, and we're just scratching the surface right now of doing something,
mm-hmm.
or some of us still doing nothing or doing the bare minimum. I think I can speak from a person in a Black body, And I think it's important to be mindful of how what we are expecting of people who also run into very trying interactions with police and law enforcement and things like that. I think for a lot of Black folks, it is really scary.
It's very dangerous.
It's a very dangerous thing. And I think I just want to speak to, that and say, I think we really owe it to ourselves to like look inward and then look outward and keep on doing that work back and forth, because I don't know, I think it can be really like this. It's Black History Month, it's Black Futures Month, we're celebrating things, we're thinking about our futures, and one thing that I keep on being struck by is how the struggles of Indigenous people, of Wet'suwet'en people right now, of Indigenous folks throughout so-called Canada and beyond, what they're experiencing is so interlinked with so much of our oppression as Black people. And I think it can be really, shame has really crept in for me, you know, feeling like I'm not doing enough, like my politics are this, and so why am I not showing up to that? And then also coming to terms with like, I'm really scared of interacting with cops. I know how cops respond to me. I have been around cops responding to people who look like me before. And so it's kind of weighing out those things and those risks. And then for myself being mindful of like, what can I do that allows me to keep doing it? Like, what can I do that is sustainable? Or what are my actual offerings in this situation? And so for myself as a person who has, you know, disposable income, it's like, well, I can give money, like I can fund things, like I can send money, like that is a thing that I can do. And I think, I don't know, social media has been really tough for I think a lot of people right now. It's been really informative, it's been really helpful, it's been really powerful, but I've also seen a lot of just the shaming that we're using, especially from non-Indigenous people to other non-Indigenous people of color. Like, I think we need to be really careful of how we're talking to one another and how we're calling each other in to like welcome each other to do this work, because it's very triggering for a lot of us. I don't know if that resonates with you, but I've just seen a lot of people with very disappointed and rightfully so, disappointed and frustrated, and where are all of you? But like you said, I think there's so many reasons, and then there's excuses why people don't show up. And I think for myself, it's just been realizing like, what do I have to offer, and how can I do that in a way that continues to sustain the work that needs to be done?
Yeah, and I think something that I am really aware of in this conversation is that I worry, because I know that so much of what I say in terms of, you know, needing to take responsibility and show up and all of these things are going to be taken to heart the most by the people who are the most oppressed themselves.
Right.
You know, and then the people who are a little bit more privileged even are often more likely to be the ones to like let themselves off the hook.
Right.
So, you know, when we talk about like showing up in person, no non-Black person should be asking a Black person to do that. Black people, some Black people might choose to do that or might not. And as non-Black people, we really cannot judge that, because
we know
the level, the level of like danger from the police, right? Yeah. That's not something that I experience on anywhere near the same level. So I have like absolutely no place in judging anybody else in that way. And that's why I think, I don't know, what I'm really trying to do is ask these questions most of myself and do that in public.
Right.
Because I think we need to be doing it,
yeah,
but pointing fingers at other people, it's just, that's just honestly ego and projection.
Yeah.
I'm curious if like my social media has felt like shaming to you in any way, and you can tell me if it does, because I want to know.
I don't know if there's any one particular post that I can, that like, I don't know. I think it was just, I think it's what it's felt like is, there's so many people whose opinions I really respect and value. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people whose opinions I respect and value that I've just come into contact with through social media. And because I am the person that I am, and a lot of us are the people that we are, and we follow the certain accounts that we do, it's an inundation, and it's a lot of information about things that we know, either know a little bit about or we're learning about it, and it is just an enormous weight that we need to sit with.
Yeah.
We need to sit with it, right? We need to sit with it and sift through that information that we're taking in. I don't think it's enough. We do ourselves a disservice, and we do the most disservice to Indigenous folks and land defenders when we just sit in the shame and sit and wallow and sit and say, I can't, it's too much. I, like, you know?
Totally.
Like, so there's, on one hand, we need, but we need to, like, as we always talk about, move through it and then pick up the pieces that are the tangible, okay, I've read this thing. Who can I talk to about this? Like, how,
yes,
how, what do I do with it? Like, take the thing and run with it. And more than anything, I think what social media and what your posts have shown me is that so much of my knowledge about what's going on is fragmented, is incomplete, and it can be very easy for myself and maybe for other folks to feel like I don't know enough. Once I know, once I do this, that I'll be,
yeah.
And it's like, we're going to be waiting for forever for us, yes, to know enough. We're always going to get it wrong. We need to accept that. I think one of your friends at our first scene event said, like, I need to distrust myself as a white woman.
Oh, yeah.
In knowing, Allison said that, like,
yeah,
in knowing that I know anything about these conversations that people of color have around me. So, like, we need to do the same work as non-Indigenous folks and know we're never, like, I'm never going to be perfect at it. And now is not the time for perfectionism when it comes to this work.
Absolutely.
And that's not to say, like, don't do the homework, don't do your, you know, like,
no,
it's imperative that you do, but there's more.
Yeah, you know? It speaks to, like, our value of learning in public.
Yeah.
And also, I think that's why it's important to listen to other people, right, and be sharing other people. And sometimes we might have something to say ourselves, but we might have nothing to say ourselves. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But share what you're reading. And I think I hear you about how overwhelming social media has been for people, and I think people do need to look after themselves and unplug at times and rest and those kinds of things, because, like you said, we need to be doing things that we can keep doing, and we need to be sustainable because we need to be in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
But I have made the choice to continue to post very frequently,
mm-hmm,
almost exclusively about this, because the media is such bullshit. Like,
mm-hmm,
when I listen, I've made an effort to stay engaged with, like, CBC, for example.
Sure.
And it makes me so angry because I'm actually listening through social media. I have the ability to listen to people on the ground, and I know what they're getting wrong, and I know the other sides of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really, really important for us to be engaging with people directly, so that we know what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you're making a really good point about the power of media and the power of, like, what happens when we just trust what is told to us by conglomerate news media.
Yeah.
We get really different information.
Exactly.
We get very specific information. We get very late information. We get very piecemeal information, you know? And, like I mentioned this before, my learning is very fragmented, but that's because I'm choosing where I'm getting what I want to learn about. Like, mm-hmm, I need to go and seek that information out. Thank God for social media, because it's just, you can continue to find other accounts. People in my circle anyways have been sharing things quite widely, so there hasn't been a day where I haven't seen, you know, work being done with respect to Wet'suwet'en and the solidarity movements that are happening across so-called Canada. But I think it really requires us to use our critical thinking and seek information.
Yes.
Right now. That's the need in my mind, emergent, especially if you're listening and you're thinking, like, I actually know only a little bit. I don't even know some of the things you're talking about. I don't understand what's really going on. it is incumbent upon every single one of us to learn and listen and to seek information and to know where we're going to find disinformation, where we're going to find doublespeak. We're going to find things that are, frankly, super fucked up and just perpetuate so much of the colonial narratives, of the rule of law narratives, of the government speak, all of that kind of thing. I like to look at all the news media, but when I look at like CBC or Global or like the National Post or like anything of that nature, I always have to do a palate cleanse and see, okay, what else is out there? Because, yeah, you're going to find, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about is like the complexity of what's even being talked about, or the news that are going and putting microphones in front of folks, Indigenous folks in Wet'suwet'en, and like there's so much information that is circulating around, and you'll have people who are having like, well, this is what I heard, but this is what I heard, and it feels like it can be really combative as opposed to like, okay, so we can hold a lot of pieces. For one, there's a lot of complexity. For two, there is a lot we don't, like, I, Nicole, don't know. For three, because I'm just entering this conversation now, very late in the, you know, Indigenous sovereignty movement, and there's a lot of work that's been done already. And that's okay. Like, we have to be able to have enough space to hold all the different pieces and the different nuance. It's not, I don't know, I think it really doesn't serve us at all to think that when we find one thing, that's it. Like, we need to be looking at a bigger picture and really applying like a critical lens to what we are taking in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's why it's really important for us to see the broader context of this movement. Like, this isn't about the pipeline, because this is the thing. If all you did was listen to, you know, CBC or Global or something, mm-hmm. you would think maybe that what this is about is whether or not there should be this pipeline through Wet'suwet'en territory.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, well, I don't know. Some of them in the community disagree, so who's to say? And, you know, it gets confusing.
Yeah.
And this is why that's not what it's about.
Right.
Actually, for us as non-Indigenous people, mm-hmm. it's about Indigenous sovereignty. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that it is not up to us to decide that there will be a pipeline through their land. And it's not up to us to decide, you know, oh, well, this part of your community says this and this part of your community says
right.
this. So we're going to go with this part of your community because that's what's, you know,
convenient for us.
And
it affirms what our business
exactly.
needs are. Yeah.
And so it's not about having the answers. Again, it's about Indigenous rights. It's about Indigenous sovereignty. So that's why, you know, it can be complex.
Yeah. And I'm really happy you mentioned that, like, as the, because I wrote in my notes, like, what is our bottom line? Because people, like, we're hearing so much information. There's like, I heard this, I heard that. And it's like, everyone's trying to come up with like some sort of like their own political critique of what's happening. But in actuality, you're right. It's really not about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is about a lot of those things. It's about all those things. But at its foundation, it's about Indigenous sovereignty.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's the piece that so many of us haven't actually had. So many of us are just entering the conversation now. And that's where we need to do a lot of our homework on, is like, what does Indigenous sovereignty look like? What are the things that, what's the work that has been done? What is the work that needs to be done? How do we amplify that? Because, like, you know, I've had a conversation with, a person I know who's Indigenous, and I've just asked, like, how are you? I want to check in with you and see how you're doing. This is a lot, you know? And having them explain to me sort of just their own experience with their family, and having family have opposing viewpoints about how, you know, but then at the root of it, it's having that conversation with yourself and realizing, like, wow, so many of the things that compel us to, you know, be supportive of this project where some of us feel really against it, it's something that's been created by colonialism. Like, we're in a circumstance where we are thinking about something like jobs because we've been living in poverty, and it comes back to the sovereignty piece. It comes back to being able to, like, let Indigenous people decide what Indigenous people get to have for Indigenous people, as opposed to, well, you know, there's this thing, it can do this for you. Like, there's this project, it can create jobs for you. It's not like, I don't know. I just think we're hearing so much of the conversation in like these sound bites, and we're talking about, well, it's jobs. Well, it's about this. Well, it's about like us needing gas. It's like, is it about all those things? Like, are those byproducts of the situation? Or is that actually the root of it? And the root of it is Indigenous sovereignty. And I think like,
And the land being taken away.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that is why our job is to listen to Indigenous people, follow Indigenous leadership, advocate for Indigenous sovereignty, Indigenous rights, Indigenous title to land, all of those things. Mm-hmm. We don't have any of the answers to any of this.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes, exactly.
And it's okay that this is really overwhelming. You know, it is overwhelming. It's really hard. You know, I'm late, very, very late, but I've still been engaging a lot and reading a lot. And I am still, you know, don't really know exactly what to say, or it's hard for me to sort of recreate the points of what I've read, because it is so much new information.
Right.
And that can be so uncomfortable and overwhelming. And that's what we need to be able to tolerate.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
Because I think a lot of people, it's like overwhelming, so they shut down.
Yes.
Or then it's overwhelming and then they feel ashamed, or they feel bad about themselves, or they feel, oh, I'm not smart enough or whatever, and they shut down. Mm-hmm. And this is where I think self-care really is a political act.
Yes.
You know, because people say that a lot, and this is a situation where it actually is and has to be. So people talk all the time about, you know, you care for yourself because then you can resist, and then you can, you know, show up in the world and be the person you need to be for the world. Mm-hmm. But too often we do the self-care and we don't do a lot of the showing up, especially when it's, you know, not for something that's, you know, our particular interest, you know, personal interest. So this is a situation where I have all of the sympathy and empathy and understanding and, you know, care for all of the people who feel overwhelmed and anxious and ashamed. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, yeah, and do your work. Mm-hmm. You know, like I feel those things too. And I need to be talking to my friends about it. We need to be caring for each other. If we can afford to go to therapy, we should be doing that. Like, whatever it is that we need to do to get through the overwhelm, to not let the overwhelm and the shame and the anxiety and the low self-esteem, whatever it is,
right,
stop us, we have to do that.
Right. And I think when you're talking about the shutting down as a result of all those overwhelming things and feelings, what it keeps us from is being able to bear witness.
Yes.
And I think that is the most powerful, one of the most powerful things that I have been in my own mind trying to hold myself accountable to, is to like watch the thing, see the thing, look at the thing. If the live story comes on, watch the live story. Yeah. Like, be part of, like, because, you know, so many of the things that are happening in the middle of the day and I can't take time off of work, for example. And it's like, feeling this, you know, I should be there, I should be doing this. And it's like, okay, well, what can you do? How can you show up in that way? And what you can do is like, look and watch, because what colonial Canada, British Columbia, like the police, news media, the power that is, what they don't want us to do is to like watch and know the truth of it all. And I think at the end of the day, we need to be able to, like you said, tolerate even that, like, that's the bare minimum that we can do, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there is a responsibility that I think that we all have to grapple with. And I think, again, I worry about how people hear this, because Black people, especially whose ancestors were brought here against their will, refugees, like, there are people in Canada who are not Indigenous that also
are not settlers in the same way
and who don't have the same level of power and access to resources and all of these kinds of things. That said, there's a lot of us who do and who are and so I'm a person of color and I'm also a settler, and I don't know, I think it's so important, kind of going back to being able to tolerate the bad, the painful feelings.
Yeah.
We need to be asking ourselves these questions and like really grappling with what does it mean to be a settler here, because this land is not ours.
Yeah.
Everything that I have here, every aspect of my life, where I live, where I work, what I do, every aspect of it is made possible by stealing land from people, which doesn't even, like, again, this is one of these times where I can't like recreate the ideas or the reality in the way that I wish that I could, you know, when I listen to Indigenous people speak, when I read books that Indigenous people have written about genocide and how when you take land away from people and you force them onto, you know, tiny reserves, or you outlaw their way of life, you take their children away and send them to resident, like all of the horrific things that we have done, that is what has made
us our able lives to be in Vancouver possible. Absolutely.
Every aspect of our daily lives, everything that we have.
Absolutely.
And so how can we just continue to live in our apartments, go to work every day, enjoy all of the sort of special privileges that we have as non-Indigenous people while this continues to happen?
Yeah.
And that's like really, really painful and uncomfortable to think about.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to
think about it and do.
Yeah, like it's exactly, like, it's not a rhetorical question, you know, asking like what does this mean to be a settler in this context?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I've been trying to think about what does it mean to be a Black person, a descendant of immigrants. So like I'm a settler here. And it is, I don't know, it feels like an indictment. It feels like it feels like, well, damn, like the very least I could do is show up. The very least I could do is listen. The very least I could do is bear witness, you know, because my life is good. My life is good, you know, and I think at the end of the day, I have to be responsible for showing up and owning that reality. Like, I need to own that. I can't like look away. I can't like pretend like the benefits that I get, or like the things that I am able to do while living on stolen land, aren't to the detriment of Indigenous people living and past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing, is that a country, you know, is just a society. It's just a collection of people.
It's an idea.
Well, first of all, it's an idea, and it's completely illegit.
It's a dumb one. So
it's made up, and it's violent, and it isn't real.
Right.
So there's that. We need to understand, we need to see through the illusion of Canada.
Absolutely.
But also, a society is a collection of people, right? So we often feel very powerless, but we actually have more power than we realize. You know, and like, look at this. I mean, the vast majority of Canadians and people within, you know, the illegitimate borders of Canada are not participating in these protests.
Yeah.
They're not participating in the blockades. And yet, because of these people who have chosen to stand up and actually do something, it's internationally, you know, on the agenda. It is the only thing on the news. It is all that anybody is talking about.
Right.
Like, it's unprecedented.
I know.
This hasn't happened before.
No, it's really... I don't even know what the word is, not inspiring, but the word is like awestruck. Like, it's jaw dropping. Like, it's like, this is a big ass deal.
Yeah.
This is a huge ass deal.
Yeah.
The fact that this is happening, the fact that there is like you said, around the clock news coverage, the fact that there's a premier in some province somewhere talking about enforcing the rule of law. Like, people are talking about this.
Yeah.
And I think for better or for worse, we should be talking about this. But for the worst part, it's being spoken about in a very deleterious and oppressive and colonial ass way.
Yes.
But there are all eyes on Wet'suwet'en.
Yes.
Like, there are eyes.
Yes.
And I think it's, I think for myself, it's like incumbent upon me. I know in this podcast, we're not trying to convince people, but I'm trying to convince people in my personal life. Like, we need to all care about this thing.
Yeah.
We need to care about this thing. Like, you're pissed off that your bus route got fucked up. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You know, like, and maybe I don't come at them with that energy necessarily.
Depends,
like,
on
it depends on the situation and what it warrants, for example. But I think,
or just the most effective strategic.
Sure, yeah. Like, I know, like, you mentioning that this is unprecedented. It truly is, and like, we need to be able to bear witness, because when we all talk about, you know, they always see those posts that are like, if you were there when the civil rights movement were happening, like, what would you have done then? Like, this is the time now. It's like, this is the time. This is not the time to turn your back on it and watch The Bachelor. This is the time to listen to that podcast. This is the time to follow that person. This is the time to share that post that makes you feel like, oh, my friends might think that I'm too much. This is the motherfucking time.
Absolutely.
You know? Still, so many of us are afraid to insert, quote unquote, like, insert ourselves in this discussion or this conversation. And like you were saying, it doesn't require us necessarily to like voice our opinions. All we can, what we can do, is just signal boost and point to the thing.
Yes.
You know, if you're so scared, because I understand that is a real sort of state of being to like navigate fear of what people think. That's real. But also, you can make it imaginary and just post the damn thing.
Well, and again, it's like, we have to tolerate those fears.
Yes.
So deal with those fears then.
Yes.
Go to therapy. Talk to your friends.
Yes.
You know, talk to your family. Do whatever you need to do.
Absolutely.
Read a self-help book. You know,
whatever.
And I'm not even saying that flippantly. Like, honestly.
I know there's a lot
of ways that we can show up to our personal work, and we have to, because again, we are implicated in this. We
benefit from this.
Every day. Yeah. And again, like, society is just a collection of people. And so the more people who refuse to buy into the line of the government, honestly, there would be way more arrests happening. There would be way more violence if people were not paying attention, right? As soon as people stop paying attention, there's already a lot of violence happening,
yes,
right? And the RCMP and other police forces are trying their best to keep anybody with phones and any journalists away from the site so that they can do what they want.
Right.
That's why we have to be pushing back and fighting back.
And watching and witnessing.
And watching and witnessing and sharing and not being afraid, or being afraid and then also doing it.
Yes, yes.
You know, that's what's so important. And so I think also what we need to talk about is how to figure out how to be involved.
Mm.
So we've already, it's been kind of woven in. But we have to think about where our abilities, our privileges, and our gifts align with what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
So again, like, maybe for whatever reason, you really can't be at a direct action. And for everything I'm going to say, though, again, we have to push ourselves. It's like this line. It's this balance, too. And a lot of people who are already pushing themselves need to go a little easier on themselves.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who are going easier on themselves need to push themselves a lot harder. Like, it's a balance between the two, because we don't want to go into shame where I'm just a horrible person. But we also need to feel guilt. And we need to feel implicated
and work through it.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, the guilt is real, because the guilt is, I am benefiting from all of, you know, the stolen land and the genocide that has to occur in order to keep the stolen land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's real guilt.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's not just ours as individuals. We have to zoom out and realize, like, we are born into the system. But again, yes, we're born into the system and here we are. And now we have a choice of how to respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think you can't go to a direct action, I would ask people to think about what that means. You can't, for what reason.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if you're Black and you're afraid of the police, that is a very legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm.
You're disabled, you're physically not able, that's a very legitimate reason.
Mm-hmm.
If it's hard and you're scared, I would really encourage people to talk to your friends about it, see if you can find other people to go with in a way that's safe. Understand, tell yourself you'll go for 10 minutes, see how it goes, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other ways, though, too. So social media is something we've been talking about with signal boosting.
Right.
Money is another thing we've talked about. That's probably, if you have money, that's the easiest. Mm-hmm. Again, I would challenge people to think about how much they're giving. And are you giving away an amount of money that you don't miss anyway?
Right.
Or that, like, you know, is very...
Oh, like your fuck around money, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Because I think that people who can should be giving amounts of money that they actually do miss.
That's true, because it's like the people that are sacrificing their bodies and putting their, like, well-being, welfare on the line.
Yeah.
That's a real... But they're risking, like, their lives. And so, like, if you are not even willing to risk a little bit of discomfort or a little bit of, I can't do this thing that I wanted to do because I've given this money away.
Exactly.
You know, you kind of have to sit with that shit.
Yeah, again, and, like, the Indigenous youth who are doing this, like, a lot of them are spending money that they don't have. Like, they're already broke and struggling, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they're spending money on travel expenses to, you know, be going to Victoria or going up to Wet'suwet'en or going wherever else, that they don't really have that money. Or like the parking at the legislature, they've been not only enforcing it in a really over the top way, they've actually, I'm hearing, have sort of changed the rules so that they can ticket more people as a way of, making it even harder for people so that they can give people more tickets to make it harder for them to be there.
Gotcha.
So I'm seeing, you know, Indigenous youth posting about these, like, expensive parking tickets that they're getting as just another way of trying to force them to leave.
Right.
So again, it's money that they don't have and they're spending it, but they're the people who are the targets of all of this.
Yeah, exactly.
So the people who are benefiting from it are the ones not sacrificing
anything
really. Even if we are giving money, most of us are not actually sacrificing anything real.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a lot of other things. So talking to people, again, like, you might think you don't know very much. That's really okay. Do you know literally anything? Because there's a lot of people who don't know anything.
Yeah.
So, and even just starting a conversation, saying to somebody, well, actually, I read this article that said, you know, the RCMP actually are still on Wet'suwet'en territory, even though they've said that they're not.
Yeah.
Because Houston, BC is still part of Wet'suwet'en territory.
Yeah.
And if that person pushes back and you don't know the answer, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Go away and find the answer. And then next time you have the conversation, you might be able to
Have more information,
or maybe you'll learn something. Like, maybe you had your information wrong. That's okay. It's okay. There's, like, the world doesn't stop turning. Like, it's really okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to correct yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to post something and then it turns out that wasn't true. Post again and say, hey, I'm really sorry. This wasn't true.
This is the truth.
Yeah, let's keep it moving, you know, because we're all just doing our best.
Yeah.
What else is there? Like, okay, so I, as you know, hate writing. I hate writing so much.
I do know. As a matter of fact.
Yes. You very generously do all of the writing for our social media. So I hate writing. I also hate reading nonfiction most of the time. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it anyway because it's a skill that I have. And so I've been really pushing myself to, like, keep trying, you know, keep pushing myself when my brain is just like, nonfiction. I don't like working this way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pushing myself to keep going, and I'm pushing myself to write when I don't want to write, because it's a skill that I know that I have, to read things that not everybody can actually read and take in that information. Mm-hmm. And I have a skill of being able to write in a way that is quite accessible.
Yeah.
So I've been pushing myself to do that.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing a bang-up job.
Well, thank you. And I'm, like, again, trying to get better. But again, I'm bringing this up especially because I don't like doing those things.
Right.
So it's not just like, this is fun for me anyway.
Exactly.
It's like, honestly, like, think about what gifts you have, what privileges you have. And then, with white people, the cops do not respond to you in the same way that they do to especially Black and Indigenous people and all people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's a call for supporters, you need to go, right?
That's you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's often calls for supplies. You can bring people food and blankets and tents and things like that. And you actually don't have to stay. Do you have a car? Because that's something that you have that not everybody has that you can use, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you have anything to add to...
I've listened to a few podcasts. Mm-hmm. I think reading, listening, and then also there's a lot of, we've been talking about this throughout the entire episode, but reflect, like taking time to sit and ask yourself questions about how your ancestors were culpable, how you continue to be culpable, about the world you want to exist. Like, I think we need to also be spending energy and time into like imagining like what could this be like, and then like what could this be like if this wasn't the case, if mm-hmm. we didn't have what people in Wet'suwet'en like fighting for their ability to govern their own land, and what would that look like? And mm-hmm. if you don't know the answer to that, go read what they think that would look like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
For me, this has just been a really humbling time of realizing, no matter how much I think my politics are, I don't know, like, I hate the word progressive, but as no matter how much I think my politics are, you know, good and fulsome and robust, there's always more room to grow and stretch yourself. There's always more room to expand your worldview and connect the dots about the things that you believe and the feelings that you have about like Black liberation in and how that's connected to Indigenous sovereignty. It's such an opportunity to like read your texts that you read about. For me, I read a lot of nonfiction. Actually, it's like kind of rare that I read fiction. To read that and reflect on like how like what that means in relation to Indigenous people. You know, and I'm talking specifically about a lot of texts that I read about Black experiences, and then seek out other texts about Indigenous experiences that are like that mirror that, because like those exist too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also been an opportunity for me to like divest my like learning about divesting my time and my resources outside of, you know, the corporations that support fucked up things that I don't believe in, the news media that I consume that doesn't align with my values at their core. You know, realizing the insidiousness of like the news media is really terrifying, mm-hmm. because we so often look out to the states and south of the border for all like the, you know, wild fuckery. And we think like, oh my God, only the most like insidious things about this company owning this thing and this conglomerate doing this. It's like, no, like that happens here.
Yeah.
You know, getting real with ourselves about like what it means to trust institutions, to trust corporations, to trust that the news knows everything. Like, I don't know. I've just been, I don't like the idea of being like kind of a tinfoil hat person, but like now is the time to apply that critical lens of who's writing this and who owns this and why would they say this?
Yeah, totally. And that's the thing, is like the media in so many ways shapes our understanding of reality.
Yeah.
And so we're having to, I think social media, as much as it can be unreliable at times, it also can be an actual source of real truth and, you know, being able to actually see what's happening.
Yes.
Without anybody, you know, in the way. And it has changed the world already.
Yeah.
And it's really changing our society now. The way we see ourselves and the way we see Canada has been constructed by very specific people with very specific
agendas,
violent agendas,
and their lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a time where everything that we thought we knew can change,
mm-hmm.
which is exciting.
Yeah.
And it's overwhelming.
Yeah, but we need to accept that, like, did you say this or do we always talk about this, but that God is change. Like, the only thing that's
yes.
real is that, like, change is inevitable.
Yes.
And the more we lean into it and accept that, the greater odds we are of being on, like, I don't know, the bright side of history. Like,
exactly. And that's the thing, too, because, again, everything, we're always changing the world. Everything that we do has an impact on the world around us.
Even so, if it's little and small.
Exactly.
You know,
like, and it's often a lot bigger than we think it is.
Yeah.
And so that's why, again, it's like people who are overwhelmed with this fear of doing the wrong thing. It's like, you're doing something now, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're doing, if you're scared to act, so you're doing nothing mm-hmm. for this movement, that's doing something.
Right.
And that's having an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I liked what you said at the beginning about going back and forth, inward, outward. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what we need to do. It's like we have to engage in what's happening.
Yes.
We don't have a choice because we are a part of it, whether we like it or not. We're a part of it. So we have to engage with it. And then we have to sit with how it's impacting us. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to do whatever work we need to do in order to be able to go back out.
It's a cycle. It's a circle. It's not right. Something that's like a finite end point, right?
Exactly.
And yeah, I think more than anything, just be open and willing to like get it wrong and grow from it.
Yes.
I don't know. That's been something for me that I'm like, I'm humbled by the amount of people who have been taking the time to educate me while being on the front lines, while being fighting for their own lives and their own sovereignty.
Yeah.
Like that is such a, I just have so much gratitude to so many already marginalized Indigenous, Indigequeer youth and elders and matriarchs and just Indigenous people in general who are doing the work. And then those who are not as well. Because by their very existence and being here, they're telling us something, that they survived a lot of fuckery.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that we need to also recognize is that, like, Indigenous people cannot, like, we need to take their lead, but they can't do this shit alone.
Yes.
Like, oh, God. They really can't do this alone.
We're the ones.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know how to say that in a more eloquent way. But by just, like, repeating it over and over again.
Yeah.
But, like,
yeah. Yes. Yes. All of those things. Let's just finish off our BIPOC of the week. It's, of course, all of the Indigenous land defenders who are leading the way, mm-hmm. and in particular, the Indigiqueer and Two-Spirit youth who are blessing us with incredible leadership right now. And there's too many people doing incredible work to single anyone out, and I think the strength of the movement is that it's not about a single person.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, when people are singled out too much, it really makes them a target.
Yes.
So it's been incredible to see Indigenous youth in particular coming together and fighting for each other and working in solidarity with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the words to express the depth of my respect and gratitude and love and admiration for these youth. All I can do is promise, as I hope a lot of people listening are also promising, that I'm here for the long haul. And regardless of any news cycle, I will not let my attention wane.
Mm.
And I will keep working every day to learn how to show up more and how to show up better and be accountable to you and back up the love and the values that I express with actual action.
Yeah. Hey everyone, it's Nick.
And Lala.
If you've been listening to Scene and you like what you hear,
please share us with your friends.
Subscribe to the podcast.
Follow us on Instagram at Scene the Podcast.
Write a review and just tell us what you think.
And help make this work sustainable by supporting Scene the Podcast on Patreon.
We need our beautiful community and we cannot do this without you.